Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:23 Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 5th. Well, a pretty momentous day in markets generally, but certainly from the perspective of the ECB. Well, in the last month, what they have been doing is telegraphing the range of measures that they could possibly have taken. Well, the long and the short of it is that rather than selecting from the menu, they've just ordered everything. So they've reduced the deposit rate on excess reserves from European banks can receive at the ECB to a negative number. Well, that's not totally unprecedented. You know, Sweden tried that, so did Denmark, and with fairly mixed results. Certainly, it's helped to reinforce the view in the markets that the ECB is willing to do anything in order to combat deflation. But the fact that they've gone for, they've really just done everything bar tear out the kitchen sink in order in this raft of measures. So let's first talk about what those actually are. Well, Mario Draghi has overcome opposition, particularly in Germany, for boosting asset-backed sales. Well, banks in Europe have been able to post asset-backed securities as collateral with the ECB for the last few years. There's about $300 billion on deposit there right now. Well, that doesn't mean that they don't have asset-backed securities on their books. They've got a lot of mortgages, credit card debt, auto loans, boat loans, well, whatever you might want to call. That's still sitting on their books, and some of it is troubled. Well, quite a bit of it is troubled in the periphery. Well, the banks would love to be able to securitize some of that debt and find buyers in the high yield market for it, but they haven't been able to do that because there just hasn't been the liquidity in the secondary market for ABS within Europe over the last few years because of the financial crisis. Well, the ECB is going to step in. They're going to create a secondary market in ABS. So that's going to set these things on fire. What you're going to see is that there's going to be a lot more demand for asset-backed securities. It's going to initiate the kind of momentum move in that illiquid sector that you've had in treasuries for the last few years because of the Fed's actions. And also in Fannie and Freddie debt, which is the US equivalent of this measure. So the ECB is taking a leaf out of the Fed's book. They're going to be buying in a lot of asset-backed securities. Well, what they've also done is that they've looked around and they've said, well, what we need to do is we need to come. Well, I guess one of the reasons that they've done with the asset-backed security purchases is that, well, moving the deposit rate on to a negative number for the banking sector is pretty much of a headwind. The banks still have to repair their balance sheets. If they had only announced a negative deposit rate, well, that wouldn't have been particularly positive for the banking sector. But the fact that they have also twinned it with the asset-backed securities, that suggests that that move is probably being aimed at specifically towards the banking sector. Well, what else are they doing? Well, they have, as I said, they've just about thrown the book at it. So what they're trying to do is to talk down the euro. Unfortunately for them, a lot of that has already been priced into the market. So the euro, having pulled all the way back to the 200-day moving average over the last 10 to 15 trading days, had paused in the last few days and had an upside key day reversal in here today. That's held the progression of higher reaction lows. Well, that would suggest that a large part of the ECB's move has been priced into those market, into the currency market. Well, when you think about what it is that they're trying to do, what they're doing is they're reducing interest rates, they're increasing their asset purchases, but they're also they had until recently been sanitizing all of their purchases. Well, the LTRO program resulted in the ECB's balance sheet expanding, and over the last 18 months it's been contracting. Well, I've posted the ECB balance sheet on a number of occasions over the last month, and it has come back to the region of the upper side of the underlying range, and it had firmed, so that the ECB's balance sheet had actually been expanding for the last 2 weeks. Well, that was a clear indication that they were planning something important. Well, they've abandoned their sanitation. That means that they're going outright for quantitative easing. Well, they don't call it quantitative easing in the Eurozone because it's considered a dirty term by the Austrian school, who are influential within the Bundesbank. But not sanitizing asset purchases and increasing the money supply is quantitative easing by any other name. Well, the fact that they have thrown their weight into so many different avenues, well, that's going to be positive for asset prices generally. Well, at the beginning of the day, and well, following this announcement, you had the Italian market up over 2%, and it closed up on the day about 1.5%. Well, the FTSE was down a bit on the day, having been in positive territory earlier. Well, of course, you don't have this massive monetary stimulus going on in the UK, rather the opposite, with the Bank of England talking about beginning to raise interest rates. Nevertheless, the euro is pretty oversold relative to the pound. Well, one of the reasons that some of these markets haven't been able to hold their advances in here today in Europe is because, well, the ECB has been so aggressive that, well, people are maybe thinking that the European economy was in worse state than they might have thought previously. Well, nevertheless, the export sector is going to be breathing a sigh of relief. Companies that were having difficulty getting funding will certainly be approaching the banks now that you've got a negative deposit rate at the ECB. And it should generally be good for the liquidity situation within Europe. Well, if you've had this deflationary forces across a whole swathe of the periphery of the Eurozone, and indeed, the Netherlands was contracting in the last quarter. That's very much in the core. Well, these aims are these measures announced today are aimed at combating that. Well, that suggests that despite the fact that you have a slight overbought condition evident on a number of these European stock markets, that, well, the likelihood is that the progression of higher reaction lows is going to be intact and that you're going to get this ranging uptrend continuing. And, well, particularly in some of the resources and energy sectors, you see that some of those sectors are trading at a substantial discount to their domestic markets, but also to the global market. Well, the additional aspect to all of this is that, well, we're living in a global economy, and, capital is liquid and capital is transportable, and it will go to the most attractive assets and are those that offer the highest yields. Well, as a result, well, nobody's worried about deflationary forces at present in the US. Everyone's expecting the economy to bounce back pretty firmly from the very cold winter. So the S&P was up by 0.2% in here today. That's extending its advance. It's up now to 1,940. Well, it's closing in on that 2,000 level, which is a big psychological number. And, nothing has happened yet to check this advance, but it has been up on, well, I think it's about 9 of the last 10 consecutive days. So, well, a short-term overbought condition is developing there as well. Well, the Nasdaq, which had pulled back sharply, the Nasdaq 100 went to a new recovery high in here today. Equally, there's a short-term overbought condition developing there, but again, nothing has yet occurred to really threaten that. Well, in the bond markets, U.S. Treasuries were relatively quiet, but well, all of this buying of bonds and additional liquidity is pretty positive for the German Bund market. Well, it had come back to test the region of the 200-day moving average, and it found support in here today. Having been as low today as 144, it closed out the day at 145 and had been as high as 145.22. So really quite a large range on the day, and the actual, the percentage change figures on the day don't fully reflect just how much of a move that we've had. Well, with all this money printing going on, the Austrian school are going to be looking at gold and thinking that they need something to help protect their money. Well, gold does best in a low interest rate environment because it's an asset that doesn't pay an interest rate. And, well, it was up by $9.56 in here today, back above the $1,250 area. Well, that's not a sufficiently large dynamic to really convince people that the bulls are back in charge, but at least we're starting to firm here in the region of $1,250. But it will have to do substantially more than that, really, before you start to convince people that the worst is over. Well, silver, if you think about gold, it's a little bit less than the middle of its range, but silver is right at the bottom of the range. And having been as low today as 1867, it closed out the day at $19.03. Well, I initiated a long position. I think that there's the potential here that we're going to see at least an unwind of the oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average. Quite what it does when it gets to that level is open to question. The progression of lower rally highs remains very much intact, and it really will need to push back above that trend mean to really begin to convince people that the bulls are back in charge. Well, platinum was stronger by about $12, and palladium was relatively quiet. The oil market was a little bit weaker again in here today, having been pretty weak yesterday. Well, West Texas Intermediate is down to 102.50. Well, in the Asian markets in here today, the Nikkei was relatively unchanged, and the ASX was down just a tad. It was a pretty quiet day. Well, the Chinese market, having been lower yesterday, was a bit firmer in here today, and the Indian market was pushed on to a new another new closing high, although it hasn't taken out that spike high on the election result just yet. But when we start to think about, well, does Europe represent the absolute most attractive market from the perspective of global capital? Well, certainly there are some sectors within Europe are looking attractive, and certainly the periphery. And, we're seeing that government bond spreads within the Eurozone continue to contract. But, well, there are also attractive opportunities elsewhere, and the ECB's actions will help to flood the global market with additional liquidity. That suggests that we're going to see some markets outperforming here on the basis of this, those that are going to be the benefit of carry trades. Well, certainly there's evidence that the US is among those, but, well, India could also be the subject of additional inflows when you have this pro-growth oriented administration with a substantial majority just taking charge. Well, that could be very, very positive indeed. Well, in the last few audios I've mentioned that the original Asian tigers have been among the better performers, and well, that remains the case, and it does look like as a whole that they are going to start to break out here. Well, they haven't done much of anything for much of the last 3 years, and Taiwan has probably had probably one of the weaker currencies in the group, but at least it's stabilized in here, and it is leading to the upside. Well, I think with that I will leave you for the evening or the afternoon, and wish all the best to all of you.